The news from Lake Wobegon podcast is supported by Yoplait Yogurt, with real fruit and dairy in 25 flavors. You can explore them all. Yoplait. It is so good.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been beautiful, beautiful golden weather, and the trees turning red and orange and gold and all these beautiful, beautiful colors. People are not raking yet because there's still a lot of leaves on the trees and the wind is still blowing. So there's always the chance that your leaves might all blow over to your neighbors, which people think they would like. But then when it does happen, then of course you feel guilty about it. And then you have to go over and help him rake his yard. And it turns out usually that you work harder than he does, motivated by guilt as you are. But it's fall, and finally that hot weather last weekend has yielded to temperatures in the 60s, which is a good thing. Some people wish that it would stay in the 80s, but the heat has affected those people, and it may be a while before they recover. The geese are still migrating to the south, great V formations of geese moving low over the town. Late at night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, you can hear their wings beating as they're laughing their way south, honking and honking. It sounds like a party going overhead. When they came over the other day, lights turned on all over town. Arlene and Clarence Bunsen were sitting late out on their porch with her brother, Arthur, who they never can get to go home at a decent hour. And he didn't even take his cue from the geese. He was just sitting there mourning the fact that, according to him, his parents, his and Arlene's parents, had invented the Arnie Palmer. They had invented iced tea mixed with lemonade. But they had not taken out a patent on this because they were not that sort of people. And so they had missed out on this. Arlene wanted to tell him how many drinks he had had. He'd had a whole tray full of scotch. But he's 60 years old. He's old enough to take care of himself. He seemed quite mournful that they had missed out on the royalties from every glass of iced tea and lemonade ever served in America. They would have certainly gotten a nickel, or at least. And he was desperately unhappy about it as the geese flew low overhead, laughing their butts off at him as they were heading south. The town council voted against allowing the sale of alcohol in the town park, which upset people at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility. They felt that it was anti-German. They were going to hold Oktoberfest there in the park. And all 4 Lutheran members of the town council voted against it. So Mrs. Anderson, who voted against it, is up for re-election this year. And now there's talk of a write-in campaign for Donnie Krebsbach. So the election campaign becomes more and more interesting. Pumpkins, great bumper crop of pumpkins. And Marilyn Tollerud made her fresh pumpkin bread this last week, which was so good. She took it around to her neighbors and some family. And they told her, as they tell her every year, you ought to make this commercially. You ought to make this and sell it. This is the best pumpkin bread that anybody ever made. And she tells them that, of course, it's only really good fresh. It has not a long shelf life. So it would be very ordinary pumpkin bread by the time it got into stores. Well, they said, people who've never tasted fresh pumpkin bread wouldn't know the difference, would they? But she's just not cut out for it. It hasn't to do with the product. It has to do with the fact that she's from Lake Wobegon. We're not raised to be capitalists and to be entrepreneurs and to bet the farm on some long shot and to come out fabulous winners, and over a few years' time your pumpkin bread catches on across the country and you bring it in by the truckload. Barges of pumpkins are coming downriver on the Mississippi, and you're making pumpkin bread and pumpkin muffins, and you're making clothing out of pumpkin fiber, and you break through and you discover a way to make biodegradable plastic from pumpkins and urine to make polyurethane out of pumpkins. And And now you're earning $1 billion a year, and you are the queen of a pumpkin empire. But still, you're modest, and you're still driving your same 1989 Ford Taurus with the dents in the bumper, and you're still living in your little three-bedroom house, not three-room, three-bedroom, but still a modest house, and you're still raking the leaves on your yard. It takes hard work to maintain your modesty when you're earning $1 billion a year, but you work hard at it, and you get in your little Taurus, and you say that you're going down to the cities to help Aunt Emily rake her leaves, but in fact you're going to Paris, but you can't tell anybody about this. You have a private jet that's waiting for you, but you don't dare let anybody in Lake Wobegon know about it. You just get in your Taurus, and you drive down to the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, off to a secret hangar, and you drive your car in with a hood over your head, and you get on your jet, and 10 hours later, you are at your home in the 19th arrondissement in Paris, and you are taking a walk in the Bois de Vincennes, which you alone know how to pronounce of anybody in your family. This word that looks like boys is pronounced bois, and you know this. And you're over there in Paris, and you're speaking fluent French, you from Lake Wobegon, and you're going to a dinner party tonight at the Comtesse's, and all the emigres will be there, and it'll be wonderful and stylish and fashionable, and you know that on Tuesday you're going to fly back to Lake Wobegon, and you're going to go to the Bunsen's for dinner, and she's going to make that tuna cheese melt that you despise. And you're going to have to pretend to like it, and he's going to tell stories about his ancestors that just bore you to tears. You're just trying to remember the correct dates and names of people and stories that nobody cares about. So that's why you don't sell pumpkin bread, because you wouldn't be prepared for success, you see. It wouldn't suit you at all. So Marilyn Tollerud makes a few loaves of pumpkin bread just for her friends and her family, and then she goes out to rake the neighbor's leaves that have blown onto her yard. And she does it in full view of him. She can see him hiding behind his curtains, but he doesn't come out and help her. She's walking up and down and singing Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, as loud as she can, and he doesn't come out. Finally, she knocks on his door, and she asks if she can borrow some leaf bags, dropping a hint as big as a toaster, and he goes out to the garage, and he gets three green leaf bags and hands them to her. Well, with neighbors like that, who needs enemies? Pastor Liz gave the sermon last Sunday in the Lutheran church on the story from the Gospel of Luke about the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed, only nine of whom were healed, and one was cured. And that one was thankful enough to come back and thank Jesus. Only one leper out of 10 came back to thank him. She gave the sermon on the difference between healing and curing, which seemed very clear to her when she wrote the sermon on Saturday night. But now, as she was giving it in her best sermon delivery voice, she didn't understand what she was reading at all, and it seemed wrong-headed to her, and also she didn't recognize this manuscript that was sitting there on the lectern. There was a whole paragraph in there that made no sense, and she skipped over it. It was a paragraph that had been in a letter she had written on the computer to her sister, and she had deleted it, and now here it was in the middle of the sermon. And she was completely lost, and yet she delivered this bad, bad sermon in a very authoritative voice and in a wonderful style, but feeling uncomfortable because just on Friday she had written a letter to everyone in the congregation telling them that there was a deficit in the church budget, and could they now spare a little bit more at the end of the year to make up the deficit and to think back on how the church had served you. She was looking at people whom she had asked for an extra donation, thinking that maybe she should offer them refunds instead. And they all just looked up at her. They just all looked up at her. And suddenly, just because she thought it was the right thing to do, she stopped in the middle of it, wondering if anybody would notice. And nobody did. She just said, amen. And then something else happened. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average. Hello, it's Garrison Keillor, hoping you'll come see A Prairie Home Companion on a movie screen near you Thursday, October 21st, live. Visit us at prairiehome.org for movie theater and ticket info, and we'll see you there.